It's good to be with you. Greetings from across town. And I appreciate the welcome that you have shown to me, for especially by having all these bald men participate in service this morning. I appreciate that very much. We were talking out in the vestibule a while ago about certain bald men don't like to be reminded they're bald. You don't have a mirror? Bald man's the very first one knows he's bald. And it's all right. It's all right. I want to share with you one thing before I begin this morning. I want to share with you something that I try to share with every congregation of people that I have the privilege of speaking in front of, and that is this. Today is the best day of your life, friend. Today is the best day of your life. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what's happening in your life, but I assure you this. Today is the best day of your life. May not be the greatest one. May not be the one you envisioned, but it's the one God has given you, and therefore what you do with it is up to you. Today is the best day of your life. It's raining outside. What are you going to do with it? If it was sunny outside, what would you do with it? By the way, have y'all noticed we're a complaining bunch of people? I'll guarantee you somebody the other day said, it's too hot. Today, it's too wet. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. If you keep waiting for the perfect day to come along, you're going to waste a whole lot of life. Today's the best day of your life. Let's make the most of it. I want to share with you a lesson entitled simply, How Does Forgiveness Work? Or, What Does Forgiveness Look Like? From the reading there just a minute ago, one of the things that we take from Scripture is that forgiveness is not optional. If you and I fail to forgive, you and I will fail to live in heaven. If we fail to forgive, that's how important this is. Do you realize that forgiveness is the only thing we need in life? Forgiveness is the absolute only thing that you and I need in this life. But to get it, we must give it. And I think that's where we fail so many times. In Mark chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, Jesus said, if you stand praying and you know that you have something against a brother, what do? You got to go and be reconciled to that brother. See, failure to forgive stands between you and I and our ability to worship God. In Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15, Jesus said, if you forgive your brother, then your Father can forgive you. But if you will not forgive others, then your Father cannot forgive you. It stands between us and God. Therefore, a failure to forgive is sin. Look at, if you will, turn with me to Luke 17, where it was read for us just a minute ago. Luke 17, beginning there in verses 1 and 2. And let me share with you to start with that forgiveness is a subject that affects us all. Look what Jesus said. First of all, He says in verse 1, it is impossible that no offenses should come. It's impossible that no offenses should come. You know what He just said in principle? That we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. We are all sinners. And y'all got to excuse me because I got to walk. I just get nervous. We're all sinners. I'm not going to tell you anything today you don't already know. I'll probably just tell it to you in a different way. But look what He says next. But woe be unto those through whom these offenses come. All of us are sinners, and woe be unto us as sinners. There's a consequence for sin. He says then in verse 2, it's better if a millstone were hung about his neck. It's better for a sinner to have a millstone hung around his neck and then be drowned in the depths of the sea. Folks, there's dire consequences to sin. And all of us are sinners. That's a dilemma, isn't it? That's the dilemma that you and I all face. Therefore, what do we need beyond anything else in this life? Forgiveness of sin. And if you and I need so desperately to be forgiven, and our forgiveness depends on us giving forgiveness, then shouldn't we just as desperately seek to forgive others? So why don't we? I want to go to heaven, but I can never forgive so-and-so. Oh yes, I love the Lord. Oh, how I love Jesus, right? We sing that song, and then we turn right around and we hold grudges and ill will toward people who have offended us or sinned against us. And oh, by the way, there's more people who will offend you than will ever sin against you. See, not all offenses are sin. We take offense to just about anything, don't we? And when I say we, I'm talking about mankind, our society. Aren't we an offense? That's not the right word. I was about to say an offensed society. Aren't we a society who looks to take offense? You can't say anything. Somebody want to sue you. Say, aren't you afraid if you say something, somebody's going to sue you? No, I don't have anything, so I'm good. But there will come a time, and we've been warned, those of us who try to fill pulpits and try to preach, we've been warned, you better be ready. Because we live in that kind of society. We live in that kind of society that wants something from someone else, but they don't want to be told that they're doing anything wrong. Forgiveness is a subject that's easily spoken of, but it's not easily accomplished. It's easily understood, yet it's almost universally misunderstood. At the same time, I think it's our pride and our misunderstanding that causes us to fail to forgive. And then when we fail to forgive, somehow inside of us as human beings, we decide that it's okay. I can't do it. I can't forgive. I can't let this go. I heard a woman one time told me, she stopped me by the back door of a church building. She pulled me aside and she said, I'm going to tell you something. I always, when anytime somebody takes this posture, I'm usually in trouble. But she said this, she said, I'm going to tell you something. I may spend eternity in hell, but I hate this person and I will never forgive them. Really? Now, you might say, well, wow, that's serious. I would never say anything like that. Would you? Are you? When I say the word forgiveness, who do you think of first? Oh, I think of Jesus and Him on the cross, and He forgives me of my sins. Yes, He does, but only if that other person you're thinking of, when I say forgiveness, you forgive and you let go. We need to forgive, we want to forgive, but somehow we've convinced ourselves that we can't. We can't. Would y'all agree we live in a TV-driven world? We live in a world driven by celebrities and TV. You know who the biggest celebrity in Nashville, Tennessee is? Let's see. Now, don't think too hard because you're going to be wrong. You know who the biggest celebrity in Nashville, Tennessee today is? Bart Durham. I'll wait while you catch up. He's on TV more than anybody else you've seen, isn't he? And what's the slogan? You deserve to be paid for what you've gone through. Isn't that how we think life is supposed to be? Somehow, if someone offends me, then by me holding a grudge, I have the power over that person. And if I forgive that person, then I let them off the hook. Folks, let me share something with you. Most of the people you hold a grudge against don't know you're holding that grudge, and some of them who do know don't care. And that's simply the reality of it. That's as real as it gets. Isn't that sad? You've been holding that grudge for 20 years, and that person you're holding that grudge against, they died 15 years ago. Or they don't even know, or they don't even care. And yet you're dying inside, both physically and spiritually. We see sometimes forgiveness as the opposite of justice, and we think hard feelings are our right. I have a right to feel this way. I have a right to hold these feelings. I have a right to hate. Nobody has that right. So I want to share with you this morning that these kind of thoughts keep us from realizing the forgiveness that God wants us to have. And let's take a look for the time we have left. I notice y'all have a bigger clock here than I have at Sycamore. Jeremiah, they must not be able to see very well. I can't either, so just settle in. I've got about 4 points I want to share with you. What does the Bible say about forgiveness? First of all, the Bible teaches us of two types of forgiveness. There's two types of forgiveness. One of them is conditional, and one of them is mandatory. First of all, let's look at the conditional forgiveness. Look here in Luke 17. Look at verse 3. He says, Jesus says, take heed to yourselves. Stop right there for a second. He said, take heed to yourselves. Pay attention to you. Look into your heart. So many times when we hear things being taught, we project them onto other people. Don't do that. Take heed to yourselves. Then look at what he says. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Folks, forgiveness of sin is conditional. It's based upon repentance. And God will not forgive sin that's unrepented of, and neither can we. Now don't misunderstand, it is not our place to forgive sin. But it is our place to forgive folks only of that sin only after they have repented of that sin. Sin cannot be ignored and it cannot be condoned. So as we talk about forgiveness, understand this point. We don't get to give everybody a pass. Well, you know, I was really adamant on this point of Scripture all my life until my child got into this situation, and then I rethought things. That's not how this works. We don't get to change things or condone sin. Only that which is repented of may be forgiven. Look at verse 3 again. If he sins against you, rebuke him. Can't be ignored. We don't get to ignore sin. There's a problem between brethren. We need to talk about it. We need to go to that person. Isn't that what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18? If a brother sins against you, go and tell him of his fault between you and him alone. Boy, we don't like that, do we? Where do we go when somebody sins against us? If he's over there, we're going this way. We got to get so many people on our side before it comes out, right? He says, if he sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Folks, we cannot condone sin. Not in our family, not in our friends, not in our brethren. That's right. Well, of course it's right. It's written right here. We know that's right. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, first five verses, Paul condemns the brethren in Corinth because they allowed a man who was living in adultery openly in reproach to God and the church. They were allowing him to stay in their midst. And he said, you've got to put this person out of your congregation. You can't condone sin. But when this man repented, 2 Corinthians teaches us that they welcomed him back, and Paul praises them for doing so. Folks, when folks sin against us, we cannot condone sin, we cannot ignore sin, no matter how close it is to us. Time doesn't forgive sin, only repentance. So that's the first type. We cannot forgive sin unless there's repentance. That's forgiveness of sin. But the second type is what we want to talk about. And that's this. We are required to forgive people. We are required to have, as Christians, we are required, we are commanded to have a forgiving spirit. We need to seek to forgive. We call it the spirit of forgiveness. All Christians must possess it because Jesus possessed it. It's an attitude that we choose to live with. We're not allowed to harbor ill will or grudges or hatred. We are to actively seek to forgive. You say, well, I don't understand that. Of course you do. You understand it. You remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross? 7 times He spoke while hanging on the cross. You remember what He said? Father, forgive them. Who was He talking about? The very people who put Him there. While He was there, while they were crucifying, while they were spitting on Him and reviling Him, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. That's a spirit of forgiveness. Oh, Jesus didn't forgive them for what they were doing. God didn't forgive them for what they were doing. We'll see that in just a second. God didn't forgive them for what they were doing. They had to later repent of that if they were to be forgiven. But we're seeing Jesus' spirit of forgiveness by asking the Father, give them a chance. You say, yeah, but that was Jesus. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen was being stoned to death and in the middle of them still throwing rocks at him. Remember what he said? Father, don't lay this charge at their feet, right? Don't hold this against them. Then he died. Folks, that's the spirit of forgiveness. You say, I can't do it? That's blasphemy. You see, if God says we must do something, you and I don't get to say, I can't. That's simply not true. If Stephen can forgive those who are throwing rocks at him, and if Jesus can forgive those who nailed him to the cross, think in your life what's offending you that you're holding on to. It is that serious. We are to forgive out of spirit of love, and it should know no bounds. Look at verse 4. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. What about you? What's your rule? I used to work for a man who said, I'll tell you once. I'll tell you once. I won't tell you again. You know what I had to do? I had to go ask somebody else because I didn't get it the first time. What's your rule? Well, you may offend me once. I might let you come back. You may offend me twice. I might let you come back. But I've got a point there. I've got a line there that I will not cross. Jesus says, there are no lines when we love one another. Remember over in Matthew chapter 18 when Peter thought he was doing well. Peter said, what if my brother sins against me 7 times in a day? Should I forgive him? Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, not 7 times, 490 times. Jesus said 70 times 7. Did he mean 490? No, he meant every time it's necessary. Every time it's needed. That's how often we forgive. That takes a spirit of forgiveness. That takes the looking to forgive. That takes it being active within us. That takes being a desire within us to forgive those who offend us. It's not an option. It's a command. And we can do it if we choose to. Let me share a point with you right now that's going to change your life. That's kind of arrogant, isn't it? I'm about to change your life. But it will. If you grasp this point right here as it relates to forgiveness, it'll change your life. You ready? Forgiveness benefits the receiver, but it is intended, its intended benefit is for the giver. You don't forgive to help someone else. You forgive to take obstacles out of your way so that you might receive the blessing that God wants you to receive. I'm going to hold a grudge against so-and-so. All you're doing is hurting you. Forgiveness benefits the receiver, but the true benefit is for the giver. This is probably the biggest source of misunderstanding about forgiveness that's out there. Well, why should I forgive them? So that you can be forgiven, that's why. It doesn't have anything to do with them. I told you a minute ago. They may not even know it. They may not even care. But yet you are still... Listen, we are required to forgive even if the offender never requests forgiveness. You see, it's not about them. About us. It's not about them. It's about, does it benefit them? Absolutely. Have you ever needed forgiveness and someone forgave you and it just lifted a burden off your heart? Yeah. If you offended someone, you need to be forgiven by them. It helps you. It benefits you. But forgiveness, friends, is for our benefit. See, we misunderstand. We think that Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, where it says, if you forgive, then the Father will forgive. Our forgiveness is not like God's. Our forgiveness is not like God's. God's forgiveness is strictly for our benefit. Our forgiveness opens the door for us to receive God's forgiveness. Therefore, it too is for our benefit. It's for our benefit. Now, I know you're staring blankly at me right now, some of you, but you're going to get in the car today and you're going to be driving along and it's going to go, and you're going to say, my life just changed. I told you. I told you. Folks, if we don't take this stuff and apply it to our lives, then this stuff becomes useless to us. We make the Word of God of no effect if we don't apply it to our lives. Forgiveness benefits the giver. And it must be more than words. It must be accompanied by something else. What word do we usually associate with forgiveness? Forgive and? Forgive and silence. Forgive and what? Forget. I can't do that! You're absolutely right, you can't. Because you misunderstand what it means. Until you understand what it means, you can't do it. Forgive and forget. Well, I can't put it out of my head. I can't erase that memory. That's not what he's talking about. It's not what we're talking about. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 13, forgetting those things which are behind, I press forward. Right? Did he mean that he didn't remember anything that was behind? No, if you read Philippians 13, you're going to find out the first part of that chapter lists all of the bad things that Paul had done. He didn't forget them by putting them out of his mind. Forgetting doesn't mean putting it out of your mind. It means putting it out of your way. Putting it out of your way so that you can move forward. If someone offends you, folks, you're never going to forget that. It's never going to leave your memory. But is it defining who you are? Is it holding you back from doing what you ought to do and being who you ought to be? Or can you set it aside? Let me ask you a question. What did you do yesterday? If you're like me, you'd have to sit here for 5 minutes to figure out what you did yesterday. My kids, when they were growing up, loved The Lion King. You ever seen the movie The Lion King, the cartoon? You got kids or grandkids, I bet you have. In that movie, the Simba, the little cub, lion, he runs away from home because he's worried, he's scared, he's got all these things, woe is me, and he runs away from home. And he meets up with this baboon who is he's kind of like a guru, philosopher guy, and he carries this big old stick. And one day Simba's whining to him, And this baboon's name's Rafiki. And this Simba's whining around, and Rafiki's tired of listening to it. And he whacks him right between the ears, that stick. And Simba falls down on his face, and he jumps up. He says, "What'd you do that for?" And Rafiki, the wise baboon, said this, "Doesn't matter, it's in the past." It doesn't matter, it's in the past. What'd you do yesterday? Doesn't really matter, does it? You remember when I told you today's the best day of your life? Yesterday was. But it's gone. We need to put yesterday behind us, no matter what was there, whether it was good or whether it was bad, it's behind us, and we need to move forward. Folks, forgetting doesn't mean that you put it out of mind. It means you put it out of the way. Set it aside. It's not going to come up anymore. It's not going to define who I am. It's not going to make me act in a way that the Lord would not be pleased with. It's going to be behind me. I must forgive and have a spirit of forgiveness even if I'm never asked to forgive. Let me share with you one more point, because I think that clock back there goes way faster than the one across town too. Y'all might want to check on that thing. I don't know what's wrong with it. One more point. Forgiveness and justice are two separate things. Forgiveness and justice are two separate things, and they need to occur at separate times. Forgiveness must take place whether or not justice is ever received. You remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross and He said, "Father, forgive them"? What happened next? He died. What about Stephen when he asked forgiveness on those who were stoning him to death? What happened next? He died. See, forgiveness and justice are separate. The offender may get away with it, if you will. That's what we call it anyway, right? They got away with killing Jesus. They got away with stoning Stephen. But you and I need to understand that if they've not repented of that sin, they will face God one day and justice will be served. Justice is not always served on this side of eternity, but justice will always be served. Those people will stand in judgment. But you need to remember this. So will you. That's a pretty sobering thought, isn't it? So will you. See, I'm going to hold this over their head because I have some kind of power over them. And they're going to stand in judgment one day. So are you. So we need to forgive and allow God to be the giver of justice. Understand this also. Forgiveness does not alleviate consequences that come from the offense. Sometimes even when forgiveness is given, consequences remain. It doesn't bring back the dead. Sometimes it doesn't bring back an offended spouse. Sometimes forgiveness doesn't open jailhouse doors. Consequences remain even when forgiveness is given. And it doesn't always end the situation. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But the only way those folks are going to be forgiven of that sin is if they repented of it. Their sin was not remitted by Jesus' words at that point. Their sin was only remitted when they acknowledged and repented of it. Let me share one more thought with you. Circling back to where we started. Christians must never condone sin and call it love. You ever known of a preacher or an elder or a member of the Lord's church who was adamant about a subject until their child fell into that problem? Or until they got into that situation themselves, and then all of a sudden, the Scriptures kind of bent a little bit. Christians must never condone sin and call it love. We're to avoid sinning brethren. We must not keep company with those living in sin who are supposed to be our brethren. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 9 through 11. Folks, our love for God needs to be stronger than our love even for each other. We must have the spirit of forgiveness, even if forgiveness is never asked for. It's required for salvation. It's conditional for sin, but it's unconditional for people. It doesn't allow people to get off the hook, and it doesn't allow them to get away from consequences. But it does allow us as Christians to put things behind us. It allows us to live each day putting those things behind us when we have the heart and the spirit of forgiveness. It doesn't ignore sin. It doesn't condone sin. But it loves the sinner and desires with everything in our being that they might come back to the Lord. Forgiveness is easier said than done. Can you really think of anything that's not? I'm going to walk down these steps in just a second. That's easier said than done. Everything in life's easier said than done. But folks, that's how forgiveness works. It's what forgiveness looks like. When you and I have the heart of forgiveness. Let me ask you, as we offer the invitation of the Lord Jesus this morning, what's your relationship with God? Where do you stand with God right now? Oh, you know, when I first became a Christian, I'm not asking that. Oh, you know, I've got these intentions. I'm going to retire from my job soon. I'm going to put a lot of... I'm not asking what you're going to do later. Let me ask you a question. What's your relationship with God right now? And then let me share this with you. It is dependent upon not only you obeying His Word, but it's also dependent upon your relationship with other people. If one day you meet God with hard feelings and ill will and even hatred in your heart, friends, you don't want to meet God at all. Today's the day we need to let it go. Today's the day we need to take that obstacle out of our path. We need to get back on the right path with God. We need to forgive others using the model of Jesus and how He forgave us. It's not easy. Nothing worthwhile ever is. But it's required. Let me share this with you as I close. You can do it. You can do it. In this assembly, to me, it looks like there's something just below 1,200 or 1,500 people. Give or take. Take a lot, I guess. There's somebody sitting here now looking at me with a frown on their face, thinking that I made this stuff up. Thinking that they can't do it. You don't know my situation. You don't know the person I'm dealing with. You don't know what's in my heart. You don't know how bad it was. You don't know what they said. It doesn't matter. All that matters is when you walk out this door, if it's the last time you ever walk out this door, you need to be right with God. And the only way to be right with God is to be right with other people. Don't blaspheme God by saying, I can't do something that He's commanded us to do. You're just compounding a problem. You're just piling sin on top of sin. But the good news is our Father gave us His Son, and His Son gave His life so that you and I could can have the hope of eternal life. What's your relationship with God today? If it's not what it should be, won't you come to Him today? Won't you come back to Him today? Whatever your needs may be, we're here to help. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, won't you make your needs known, whatever they may be, as together we stand and we sing.